The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Well, years of schooling have prepared them for this, and yet as the date inches closer, it's up to them and their families to ensure they perform at their best. What are we talking about? The Leaving Cert, which begins this coming week. Counsellor and education columnist for the Irish Times, Brian Mooney, is with me. Sir Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, I can remember, even though all those years ago, I can remember the unease, the sense of trepidation I had in the weekend before the Leaving Cert.
It's a very fearful time. You know, you've spent 2 years working on seven or eight subjects, and now it's here. I mean, you've had a few hints. You've had your mocks back in probably February. You had your orals over Easter. You've put in a few projects in relation to subjects where there's a project element. But now you've got English Paper 1 on Wednesday morning, and you're thinking about Macbeth, and you're thinking about Shakespeare, and you're thinking about your poets and which ones are going to come up. And you're a bit nervous,
Now, the question of what to study at this late stage, you've got limited study hours.
Yes.
Do you kind of hone to perfection the stuff you almost know to perfection, or do you go scrabbling around trying to find stuff or knowing where the stuff that you are weak in lies?
Well, look, the Leaving Cert is a marathon. And, you know, if you're running a marathon, you know, in a sense, a couple of days before the marathon, you're not trying to get any fitter, in a sense, because you've done it, you've prepared for it. The knowledge, the actual knowledge you have in your head is probably not going to be enhanced in any way over the next 48, 72 hours. It's how you use it, and it's how you process the exam paper when you go into it. Yes, you're absolutely right. It's, you know, you're doing seven or eight subjects. It's over 3 weeks. You've got your Irish and your English and your maths kind of concentrated in the first few days.
So should you concentrate on them?
Absolutely. And then it spreads out. You know what I mean? You could have 3 or 4 days between, you know, your second last and your last paper and the previous. So don't even worry about the subjects.
Okay, so park those.
Absolutely, because you're going to have loads of time. So, you know, right now, obviously, you're going to be focusing on English Paper 1. And obviously, some people will be doing, you know, one of the minority subjects in the afternoon. But effectively, for most people, it'll be a half day, and then they will have an opportunity to prepare for the next day's paper. So be strategic. And, you know, make sure that you understand the structure of the paper. You make sure what, in fact, you know, you're preparing for. And the most important thing, Pat, is when you go into the exam, read the paper fully before you start the paper, and go to the back of your answer book and, you know, be jotting down over a matter of 2 or 3 minutes.
Your first thoughts.
Because what's going to happen is, as you settle into whether it's the essay or whatever, your brain subconsciously is going to be working on the things you haven't remembered. And as the thoughts come into you, flick to the back of the answer book, write down the keyword or whatever, so that as you go through the exam, by the time you get to the end of it, you will have effectively drained your brain of all of the knowledge you have. And of course, the most important thing, as both you and I know from people who write and do journalistic work, if you write something, reread the damn thing before you step up from the exam hall, if you have the few minutes.
Now question, Brian, at the moment, marking papers, I know a lot of teachers don't like doing it, but for some it is a handy little earner.
It is.
Is AI going to take over that?
Well,
scan the paper and off you go. Yeah, look for the keywords.
Yeah, well, certainly the papers are already scanned. I mean, the teachers are no longer, God be with the days when you carry that bloody heavy sack with 500 scripts from in Athlone back to your car. You know, I remember it with fond memories, but it's all scanned now. So teachers are actually correcting online, and there is a marking scheme. Will we get to a point where the creativity of individual students is missed because they're just looking for keywords? I would hate to think so. But AI is going to have a huge effect.
Isn't it important, though, this idea of keywords? That if you mention, say, the five key themes the examiner is looking for, the fact that you might go and scribble on to 10 or 12 themes, not necessary.
Oh, that's what I meant about strategic, Pat. If you think about it, I mean, doing an exam is like having 40 little egg cups and a jug. You have to fill each one to the brim, but don't spill any of the liquid, and then you'll have enough for the 40. And it's ultimately, that's the key to success in exams. It's about the strategy. It's about knowing how the marking schemes work. And they're all up on the State Exams Commission website. You've been looking at them for 2 years. You know what they're looking for. So it's not about your intelligence, or it's not about your creativity in some one sense. It's about filling the actual structure that they're looking for. That's what the Leaving Cert is ultimately about. When you go on to college or university, you can be creative and all of that sort of stuff. But for the Leaving Cert, a lot of the time, it's about making sure you deliver what's expected.
Let the grader, the marker, know that you know.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Now, the other thing is, you say work on topics that you're already quite good at, because that kind of revision will get you the higher grade and maybe get you a place in college that you might not otherwise have expected.
Well, at the end of the day, you know, provided you give the 4 points, it's about how you develop each point. But at the point where, as I said, at the having written the paper, you know, you have in August these people, I missed my course by 5 or 10 points or 15 points. Every single exam, it is a marathon. It's so important, and this is where parents come in and the home environment come in. Every single exam is key, because, you know, it's like in a match, you know, that the team goes off the boil for 15 minutes. You can't go off the boil for 15 minutes. You cannot go off the boil for one exam. You have to be on message, and therefore diet and, you know, getting sleep and not eating junk food and trying to keep yourself mentally sharp for the whole 3 weeks. It is so important. That is the key to getting those high grades at the end of the day. It's about consistency. It's about ensuring that you prep for every exam, that you, as I said, reread the paper at the end if you have a few minutes. And if you notice that you've missed something, you know, jot it in. Therefore, if you're doing a question, leave a bit of space after every question so you have somewhere to write those extra points.
Because even if they are not coherent in the sequence, if they're there, you get the marks.
They get the marks, exactly.
Now, what about planning your time? Because as you say, it's all laid out. Everyone knows what day or afternoon or morning the particular exam is going to be. Would you tend to do a kind of a template of the whole exam period and say, well, this is where I'll revise my French and this is where I'll revise my physics?
And also from a parent's point of view, you know, it's also important that you are totally aware where your son or daughter has to be at what day, at what time, because under the stress of all of this and over a 3 week period, it is so easy for somebody who may have been, you know, studying late or something, parents go off to work and you just fall off to sleep again. Yeah. I mean, your responsibility as a parent in one sense is to ensure that on a daily basis, you know where your son or daughter needs to be in terms of the day or the afternoon or the morning, and that if there's a lunch to be prepared, that it's sitting in the fridge ready for them.
And do we know if it happens often that the kids miss exams?
Oh, they do. I mean, it happens. I mean, you have the scenario where a principal who's obviously still present in the school is approached by one of the invigilators to say, this particular student's on my list, they haven't turned up. They're ringing the house or they're ringing the student's mobile phone. They're in bed. And of course, if you don't turn up, what is it? I think it's a half an hour within the first half hour. Yeah. You're not allowed into the centre, so it can get pretty hairy.
Now, you mentioned the parents, and the question for many parents is, should I butt out or butt in? You know, the parent will be saying, I told you, I warned you.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, here's the key, Pat. Ultimately, as a parent, no matter what you do, you cannot add one single mark to the script that's already happened. So, you know, how was today? No matter what they say, and what's up next?
Okay.
Move on. Up next? And you know, are there anything that key things that you're expecting to come up? You know, what to plan? In other words, when you have been sitting for 3 hours doing an exam, there's an awful lot of energy and stress build up in your body. So when you go home, if you can just vent.
Yeah.
Vent and move on.
Now, the venting sometimes for kids these days, it's all about social media.
Yeah.
They come out of an exam and immediately they're on their social media. How'd you get on?
Exactly. Blah, blah,
blah. And you get the person is going to boast, oh, it was a doddle.
Yeah, I love that.
And that's going to be upsetting if I didn't feel the same way about it. So should you stay off social media, or is it a kind of a crutch that is useful?
Well, I would say that, you know, stay off it if you can, but ultimately at the end of the day, an awful lot of the bullshitters who are going on about what you're suggesting, you know, will not be the ones waving with glee their exam scripts in the end of August. At the end of the day, have confidence in yourself. You've worked on this stuff for 2 years. You know, you've put in your own effort. You are going to get the fruits of your work. whatever you do, you're going to get the fruits of your work. And don't worry about the next guy or the next girl or whatever.
Now, people are very intent on trying to give themselves little recreational breaks.
Yes.
And sometimes that's good. If you go out and, you know, play your game of football with your teammates, that's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
However, going to the backfield with a few cans might not be the best thing to
Correct.
Do in the middle of an exam.
But that's what I'm saying to you, Pat, in terms of being a marathon. You know, when you're on the marathon, there are people handing you water. You know, they're not handing you beer. You know what I'm saying? And at the end of the day, what you need to do is to ensure, as I said earlier, consistency, and you're at your sharpest and best. And absolutely, over the 3 weeks, you need to recreate. You need to do the things that you enjoy doing. If it's going and, you know, looking at a movie or whatever it is, or just going to the theatre or going to a play, or anything that gives you extreme supports. You do not want to end up doing the next exam in plaster cast in a hospital bed. You know what I'm saying? But within the, you know, within the relative safety of not doing anything that's likely
in
to
hospital. In other words, you're giving your mind a rest.
You're giving your mind a rest, and it's important that you do. Because to be able to remain sharp over 3 weeks for maybe 12 papers across 7 or 8 subjects, you literally have to be able to recreate, because otherwise you're going to be exhausted halfway through and then your performance is going to go down.
In terms of stress, some people don't handle stress well and other people thrive on it.
What
can you do about that?
If you're not feeling anxious about your leaving cert, you know,
there's something wrong with you.
So you need to check whether your heart's still beating. I mean, at the end of the day, you need stress to ultimately motivate you. It's an adrenaline. It gets you focused. It gets you sharp for the exams. If it gets to the point where you're having difficulty breathing or you're having difficulty sleeping, go and see your GP on Tuesday morning. You know what I mean? You might need something to relax, but be careful, because ultimately you can relax to the point where your performance...
And you don't care.
You don't care. And it drops considerably.
Finally, Brian, I know we're talking about the Leaving Cert, which begins on Wednesday, but... throwing forward a bit, the CAO, are there any things that people should know now about the CAO and change of mind?
About 60,000 people who are doing the Leaving Cert this year will have applied to the CAO. And ultimately, about 95% of them are only going to finalise their choices between the end of the exams and around the 20th of June and the end of the month, the 1st of July, which is the deadline. And at the back of their minds, students, even though they're focused on their subjects, are worried about this. And one of the things I'm finding talking to students at the moment is they're concerned about AI.
Yeah.
They're looking at your reports that effectively graduates are finding it difficult to get work. My advice to them is this, Pat. At the end of the day, you're going to spend 3 or 4 years in college. Do something you are passionate about.
You'll enjoy college then.
You'll enjoy college, and you will become a better person and a stronger person. And at the end of the day, the world of employment is going to change. When I started work, you know, I walked into a building where 30 girls sat in a room behind typewriters and the noise was deafening. And, you know, the brothers might have been down in the docks working, unloading ships. All of that work is gone. But the work has been replaced by other work. And society is brilliant at creating ways in which people can spend their money. I was at a careers event there the other day and I was speaking to Marty Morrissey about this Marty Party event. Yeah. You know, 600 people going out and spending several thousand euros, you know, for a week just listening to Dana and Johnny Logan and all sort of thing. People will find ways to create economic activity. And I'm not suggesting that people are going to spend their life going to parties, but ultimately human beings will find ways of creating need, which creates jobs in every area of human skill and ability.
You'd have to pay me to go to that party.
Would they have to? Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? That at the end of the day, humans have created needs. And if you study something that you love, whether it is mathematical or literary or, you know, artistic or whatever, computational jobs, as in data processing, are probably going to disappear in the same
and
way.
Actually, Luke O'Neill is coming in later on in the morning to talk about that very thing, which jobs are most likely to go and what the alternatives
would be. But students should not be worried about that, because in 5 years' time, the landscape will be so different. So just pick the courses that you're passionate about, that you've looked at, and you say, I would love that. That's the one to go
to college and enjoy it.
Absolutely.
Brian Mooney, thank you very much for joining us, guidance counsellor and education columnist with the Irish Times.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk with Timber Living Log Cabins.